You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. And always keep in mind, when we post, there are sometimes we post videos over on the Empire page, just a couple snippets from practice that you might be interested in. So check those out as well. Today, it's just me and you talking about a lot about Sam Howell. Because I just wanted to provide a little bit more insight on things. Listen, this is a first impression of the spring of Howell. So I don't want to go overboard on anything, but I do want to talk a lot about what we've seen to date. And things can change in the summertime and things can change during the season. But I think when we go each step of the way, it doesn't mean you're hyping him up. It just means you're discussing what you're seeing right now. What does it mean for the future? All that good stuff. So I'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, I do want to start with Josh Harris and the ownership situation. And by the way, if you want to get some more insight into Josh Harris, go back and listen to my conversation with Albert Breer that ran on Friday, because Albert wrote a story about Harris for SI.com and had some really good insight into who he picked up or what he picked up on Josh Harris. Albert's really good at getting insight, and he had some here. And so, you know, I think it's a worthwhile listen. That's why I talked to him. I knew he'd provide good insight, and he did. And he also talked a little bit about Sam Howell, a little bit about Chase Young. So go back and give that a listen. And also keep in mind, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. And so there you go. But let's start with Josh Harris, because there was another report on Friday talking about this one from Forbes about the owner's concern over the Josh Harris offer. Well, a couple things. First of all, this thing has never been over. And while the purchase and sale agreement was a significant step, which is what I talked about and kind of how I built it, significant step, it still needed to get to a certain point before it was considered over. And we're not there yet. The other thing is, and I know the Washington Post reported that, and I know we've had that in some of our ESPN stories, that there are concerns, and especially over the debt load. And, it's too much for what the NFL wants in terms of its criteria for an NFL owner. There's also concern about the size of the group. Now, I was told on Friday, and I know others were as well, that the Harris Group has 20 limited partners. That's a big number, but the NFL limit is 25. So it's under the limit. But with 20 limited partners comes a lot and lot and lot of vetting, because you have to vet them all. And we've talked about that a lot in here. And if you've been listening to me, you should know that by now, that it takes time to go through all that. It's not as simple as, you have this much, your net worth is this much, go on. You have to vet them for security reasons, for financial reasons. If it's family money, you have to vet the family members, because you need to know where that money's coming from, et cetera. So that's the big part, but the debt load is a big part. There's also, in talking to people last week at the owners' meetings, there is a desire to have more equity in the offer. So that's a big part of this as well. So, Jim Irsay said on the record last week that the bid has to meet NFL criteria, and it did not. And that's why it hasn't. This is also in the early stages of the vetting process. So I think the NFL is going to encounter this more and more as we go forward, unless you get somebody like a Jeff Bezos to come in and buy a team where, the guy's got $120 billion. It's not going to be hard to vet him. But the way teams are going, very few people can afford that kind of money. And so you're going to get bigger groups. You're going to get more situations where it's probably going to take a little bit longer to go through all this. I mean, again, it took 2 months for the Broncos bid to go from agreement to vote. And that should have been an easier one. So, you know, this one, we'll see how long it takes. But there is, you know, the difference here too is that they need to get in compliance with the NFL bid, with what the requirements are for an NFL owner. And that's incumbent upon Harris to do that. Now, Roger Goodell expressed certainly strong optimism that it would get done. Jerry Jones expressed strong optimism and said it would get done. Jim Irsay is on the finance committee, so he's privy to more documents right now about the situation and knows a little bit more. So he expressed more cautious optimism that, you know, while he was thought it, he had hope it could get done, he hoped it would get done. At this point, and certainly last week, it was not done, and it was not to the owner's liking. I know people with the Harris Group are certainly remain very optimistic that it's not a matter of if, it's when. And there are other people who are familiar with the process who still think the Harris Group will get there in the end. Some of these people also believe that the NFL is going to have to at some point relax its rules for the ownership, for ownership, because again, like what I said earlier, that it's just ultra, ultra expensive, and you cut down on your the number of people who are able to do this. And I know there's a lot of people who wanted Bezos kind of for this reason. But the other thing is, we don't know what kind of a sports owner Jeff Bezos would have been. So while the process would have been smoother, we don't know what kind of owner he would have been. And I think one thing here for the league, and here's the other thing, I don't think he was ever going to get it. And there was zero desire by the Snyders to sell to Bezos. But the league also has to be careful to make sure you're getting the right people into the league, and being a good steward of a franchise that's as important as this one. And certainly you have some track records with Harris as a pro sports owner with both the Devils and the Sixers. So I think there's a good desire to have this guy win this process. And I think the key here is, just like any negotiation, if you're getting a free agent, a trade, whatever, if you have motivated sides to get it done, then there's a greater chance that it will get done. And I think in the NFL, the Snyders and the Harris Group all are deeply motivated to make this work. That's always that's a big key here. But again, it's not done, and there are things that have to be that remain. And as Irsay said last week, it still needs to get in compliance. And until it's there, then they're going to keep working at it. But that's what they're doing right now. But it's why it could take a little while for this to get done. What that means, what the timetable is, again, he said last week, sometime after July 4th, they could call a special session to do something. It could go longer than that. The goal was to get it done before the season. But again, there's a reason why when he says that, I think you at least have to, you can dislike Irsay or whatever, but you can at least have to take note of what he's saying and when and why. And again, I think the why is, has to get in compliance, and the number of limited partners makes this a potentially more lengthy process. So just know, take a deep breath. The Snyders remain deeply motivated to sell and to be done. So I think they certainly seem to have made their peace with this a while ago. And I only put it that way for those of you who worry that something could go wrong on their end. They certainly, by everybody I've talked to, remain deeply motivated to now be done with this situation. So there you go. That's a quick update on there. And we'll keep you posted as this goes on. And this will be a fluid situation. But just take a deep breath when you're reading all these things, and don't overreact. And just understand there's a process that's going on here as well. And also, and I've told you this before with the patent, the trademark stuff, don't start getting your hopes up that this is going to lead to a name change. I think we're, again, as I said last week, we're miles away from that. And certainly if the Harris Group is certainly, assuming if the Harris Group is accurate and they say it's a matter of when, I have yet to talk to anybody involved in that with that group who says, yes, I think we'll change the name. Nobody has said, nobody's expressed a desire to even tackle that issue. Certainly not early on, if at all. So just deep breath there, and just not to dampen anybody's enthusiasm for name change, but just trying to tell you what I've heard and what I know. Anyway, let's get to some better stuff, and that's Sam Howe. So I want to talk about him because I thought, we talked about him, or I talked about him last week after the OTA session. And by the way, I'm going to do another update after their OTA session on Wednesday. That podcast, that video will be up later Wednesday afternoon, early evening, whenever comes out, but it'll be at wrapping up another day of OTA work. And then keep in mind, they have the next week, they have their mandatory mini camp. And that's when if Chase Young and Montez Sweat don't show up there, that's when you should start to say, what the hell's going on? Anyway, back to that. But anyway, the other thing is on the mini camp, typically in the past, they'll schedule 3 days and they'll hold two and they'll tell the players you're done, because it's kind of a reward for what they would say, oh, that's a great off season. And so they get them, give them that day off. But in this situation, because they lost that week to the penalties last year, my guess would be they keep that third day. So I only bring that up because this week I'll have the OTA session wrap up on Wednesday. And then the following week, I would anticipate 3 mini camp wrap ups that I'll be posting as well. So some good quick insight from what I see in practice, some progress, where some guys are playing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, let's get back to Hal, because I think he's the key here. And I don't want to go overboard in talking about him. However, he's very central to this season. So he's a key figure. I was going to say majorly key figure, but he's a key figure, because the better he does, the better the chance this team has for success, not just now, but to build on that for future years. You know, it's because he's a young quarterback, but it's also the contract. That's a big deal. But also, just to have a good quarterback would be a nice change for this franchise. We're ways from that to know where exactly he's going to go. So really all this is, it's not about trying to hype him up. It's about trying to talk about a guy that right now, what we see and where does it go from here? I don't know. But what we saw the other day, I just want to talk a little bit more about that. And one of the things that I didn't go hard enough on last week when I talked about him was his footwork. It is much better than it was at this time last year. And certainly going into training camp, it wasn't great. And by the end of training camp, there were still issues. That's why they had to work with him a lot on, you know, just getting him ready to be in a certain position. But that was a huge focus of his in the offseason. And that's smart, because it's what he needs to do. I know De'Ami Brown was telling people, like, he was telling people here that he's a different guy. And De'Ami worked out with him, like, I think it was 3 times a week or so. So that was something that, you know, that jumped out, and it jumped out to people there as well, the footwork. And I'll tell you what, it really jumped out to me as well, because, you know, first of all, it was the base he's throwing, which was really good, but it was the timing of it. The footwork isn't always just like, you know, it's how you're getting back there too, but it's also understanding on this one, it's a 5-step drop versus a 3-step drop. That makes a huge difference, because there were a couple times last week where Jacoby Brissett would take a 3-step drop when it was supposed to be a 5-step drop, and it disrupts the timing and rhythm of the play. And one of the things that I noticed, and I talked about this last week with Hal, was the timing and rhythm of his plays. He was at a better spot than with Brissett, where Brissett was at. And again, I don't know where that competition is going to go. I'm just talking about this one particular day that we saw. And I still think it's probably indicative of where they're at with things right now. But I thought that's where the footwork really played into Hal's day, and where he's been at in the spring in the coaches' minds is the timing and rhythm. And that comes back to the footwork. So that for them, it's a really good thing to see.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Did you know the largest ropes course and zip line park in the country is right here in the DMV? Located in the heart of Montgomery County, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring combines climbing and zip lining to create an aerial obstacle course unlike any other. With challenges anywhere from 10 to 75 feet in the air, there is something for all skill levels. Looking for some family time or the perfect date night before football season starts? You can even climb and zip line under the stars. Would you rather keep your feet on the ground? Give axe throwing a try. With their projector systems, you can throw at traditional targets, play tic-tac-toe, connect four, or even hunt zombies. Listeners of this show can get $5 off any ticket by entering the code KIIM23DC at checkout. That's KIIM, KIIM23DC. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. The weather is warming up, so it's the perfect time to head outside and join the adventure at www.theadventurepark.com. That's www.theadventurepark.com and enter promo code KIIM23DC. The other thing you have to keep in mind when we're talking about these OTA practices is, what are we really seeing here? And do you know what you're seeing? Because I'll be honest, like, most of the time you see and interpret a play one way, and then you talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about, and you find out that, oh, it's not quite what I saw. This is what I saw, but they can tell you this is what it meant. For example, there was a throw last week where he tries to hit Jahan Dotson on it. It was basically a wheel route. And so, runs the wheel route from the slot formation. But he also, what he has to do too, is when he's running from the slot, it's really kind of an out and up, but he's running out. He's got to sell the out route, has to sell it, because there's going to be a corner that side dropping. And if he sees him selling the out route, he's going to take his eyes off him a little bit. Well, in this particular play, Dotson doesn't sell it quite as well. So then Benjamin St. Juice stays with the play. And while Howell makes the right decision to throw it to him, St. Juice breaks it up. But that's one of those little subtle things that's like, when you know what's going on. Again, like, I think Dotson is a really good route runner. He's going to be really good for them this year. And I don't think that's any revelation, because I think the kid's got a lot of skill. But that's what you do in the spring. You go through those plays, see, okay, what do you need to clean up? And there was another one where he was picked by Percy Butler. It was a bad decision. And I talked about this play last week. It's just a bad decision where he's thrown to Cole Turner. But you have to look, why did he get to this read? And this, what's the lesson here? And the lesson was, stay with your primary read just a little bit longer, because he got off his primary read a little bit too early and then goes to Cole Turner on this crossing route. And because of that, Turner's really not open. So the timing of the play is just off. But it all stemmed from taking your eyes off your primary read too soon and then compounding that with a bad decision to throw to a guy who was not open. So I think, those are things that were, again, so if you're just watching it, it's like, okay, he throws a pick, and it was a pick, and it wasn't a good decision. But again, why did he get to that decision? And it was about that. But for the most part, they've been pretty happy with, especially with the footwork. That's like the number one thing you're going to hear if you talk to these people, is just the footwork is just dramatically better, and the difference that can make in his game. And I bring up the example last year in training camp, in the preseason against Baltimore, and where does the footwork make a difference? And there was the play against Baltimore where he ends up getting sacked, and Chris Paul gets shoved back on the play, and Howell takes a three-step drop. Well, he's supposed to take a five-step drop. So it looks like Paul messes up on the play, and it wasn't a great block, but it was compounded because Howell doesn't take the right drop. So those are things as a fan and oftentimes in the media, you're just not going to know. That's why when you have access, you can find out. And on that particular play, it looks like Chris Paul messes up, but reality is it was Howell. And because if you're taking a three-step drop, now the guys aren't ready, and you look and say, well, nobody's even open. Well, it's because he mistimed his drop, or took the wrong improper steps. Those are the things with footwork. It's not always just like, and sometimes it's how quickly you're doing it, the tempo of which you're doing it. I think that's one of the things that Jacoby Brissett is working on right now, is just all that tempo of his drops as well, to get in sync with the guys around him. That takes a little bit of time, even if you've been in this offense, maybe you haven't been with these guys, right? So there is an adjustment period for any new quarterback in any new situation when you're new. So, but again, with Howell, that's where he's looked pretty good. And then the other thing, like when you're watching this spring, there are going to be situations that come up that are going to test a quarterback. And if you're in a blitz period, you're really not going to plan how to defend this particular blitz because that's not what you're working on. And that stuff comes later. That's part of game planning, is preparing to stop a certain blitz. But when you're not doing that in practice, what's the end result for the quarterback? And sometimes that, you know, there may be a pick you throw. Was that bad on him? Or, you know, but what do you, again, the key to me in the spring is always, what do you learn from this situation? And then how do you handle it the next time? And I think that's where we're at with Howell. And I thought it was, you know, I'll be curious to see how he does progress, but I did want, I specifically wanted to talk about his footwork today, because I think that's a major improvement over last year. And it's why, listen, it's why a lot of people coming, when him coming out of college, one reason he did drop, it's not just because, oh, he lost all this talent. He didn't have the number, so he just dropped the fifth round. No, I think what it did is it caused people to scrutinize him even more. And while I think some teams would have taken him higher, certainly not everybody would have, because he didn't. But I think he led to more scrutiny. And when people scrutinized him more, then they look at the footwork. And the footwork needed some work, cleaning up. He has cleaned it up. They helped clean him up. But he definitely has focused on it. And I think that's something that's really good. That's a good start for him. And if he just continue to build on it, I think you can put yourself in a better spot because of that. I think the other thing that I'll be curious to watch is how he handles being a leader. And that's one of the things, like Antonio Gibson said last week, that they felt like he's taking some charge in the huddle. And it wasn't so much, you know, is he doing because he now has to? It's like, or could he, was this capable of him last year? Or was he capable of it last year? Or is it a matter of now they're kind of forcing him to do it? It's a little bit of both. When you're in this position, you have to understand as a quarterback, you have to take control. And if he can do that, I think that's another step in the process. But, you know, proper footwork is going to bail him out of many, many situations. And especially because we still don't know how this line is going to be. There are a lot of questions about that offensive line. You go back and watch that Dallas game that he played last year. It's not like the line was great. He just got rid of the ball and made good decisions. I think it's going to be hard to survive that way over the course of the season. So the line has to be, and it'll be a different line than that game. So let's see where it goes. But the line has to definitely be better to give him a chance to get to, you know, to feel comfortable and to get through those progressions and to feel comfortable staying with his first read long enough so he avoids the kind of situation he had where he threw the interception to Cole Turner practice. But anyway, I just wanted to bring all that up. And by the way, I know they remain excited about Cole Turner. So for all the trouble with Armani Rodgers, and I told you this last week, that they definitely remain excited about Turner. I think he's going to be a guy that they get excited about as we continue into the offseason workouts. But the number one guy will be Sam Howell, just because of what he could mean for the franchise. And it doesn't, one OTA practice does not finalize a quarterback situation. There's a long way to go. But I did, but you know, but again, my main point in talking to you today is to point out the improvement in the footwork, because that is the number one key. I remember talking to Mike Shanahan years ago about quarterback, and he would talk about the first thing he looks at with a quarterback is going to be the footwork. And so like when you know that, because it's the base, it sets its tone for everything about you as a quarterback. And that's why, again, I think that's where they get some excitement about Howell. So anyway, that's it for me, but I just wanted to give you that update about all these situations. And mostly about Howell, because I think that's probably I'm not sure which one you guys care more about. Maybe it probably is Howell, because you know this, they're going to have an owner at some point, but the success of the franchise this year, a lot depends on Howell. Now, long range, you want the right owner. That's why I think you need to make sure that you get the right, that they get the right guy, and that they vet the Harris Group and make sure that when they get in there, that like, you're not going to be choking on debt. Because you're going to have to build that same, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but make sure you get the right owner in here. But the other thing is get the right quarterback. And if Howell continues to develop, then they can feel pretty good going into the season. Anyway, that's it for me. I'll be back with another episode after Wednesday's OTA session. So thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.